Chapter 18, World Goals. In the download portion of my revelations, I received four goals for the world. World Goal 1, clean drinking water for those without it. Most of us live in our own bubble, ignoring as best we can the suffering all around us in the world. Out of sight, out of mind. We tend to believe that others' suffering does not affect us. However, we are all connected. Even if the suffering is on the other side of the planet and we don't see or hear anything about it with our own eyes and ears, we still feel the pain of those who are suffering. Why? Because we are connected to it, since we are all really one spiritually beyond appearances. That is the truth. We are not as separate as we appear to be, so shouldn't we be helping others who are outside our own bubbles? It is natural not to want to think about or focus on the suffering of others, which is depressing. If someone comes on TV to start talking about starving people, most viewers will change the channel. We don't want to see that or be swayed to feel any responsibility to help. Certainly not after we just ate a great meal at a fancy restaurant. I don't want to think about the fact that over 600 million people throughout the world do not have access to clean drinking water. I don't want to contribute to solving the problem. I think someone else will do it, or the problem is too big to solve, so any effort is useless. But as for the clean water issue, we currently have the means and the resources to bring relief in a relatively short period of time to most people in the world who lack access to clean drinking water. Nevertheless, as of yet, we have not done so. It is absurd that people are suffering in this way right now when this problem could be solved fairly quickly with resources and technology that already exist. We could change the world in a big way right now if enough people give to the objective of everyone having access to clean drinking water. Go to www.expertgiver.com for links on how to help with this very important cause. 100% of donations go towards solving this problem. All of the money donated goes straight to purchasing water wells and filtration in the most needy areas. I personally will profit in no way financially from this cause. This is something we can do right now to help decrease suffering in the world. If enough of us donate a little, we can solve this problem. Imagine if you didn't have access to clean drinking water. Those of us who do have clean water are not thinking about the people who are suffering because they don't have it. We are selfish because we are ignorant. Whether we know it or not, the truth is that the suffering of others is also our suffering. World Goal 2, adopting just one homeless person or family. When I use the term homeless, I am not just referring to people who lack shelter. I am describing people who need extra help from others to get back to a place where their basic needs are met. Here is how to solve the homeless problem in the United States. Every capable individual will volunteer to support or sponsor one homeless person, one homeless couple, or one homeless family with kids. That involves doing whatever it takes to get those people on their feet with money, clothing, shelter, food, work, and medical and mental health resources. This will require giving even when that is not convenient. Can you help just one person come up from the bottom? Judging the homeless in 5 seconds. When you are driving and see a lost dog with a collar wandering around, do you pull over and try to call it to you so you can check the collar and call the owner? Or do you just keep driving and think someone else will do it? Most of the time, you are probably more willing to help a lost animal than a needy human. Is that because you think the animal is helpless, whereas humans are not? How is it that you will adopt abused animals, but you won't adopt homeless people, helping them with your time, attention, and resources to get back on track? When you see homeless people on a street corner, do you think, they don't deserve anything from me? I don't want to enable them. If I give them money, it's going to keep them on this corner. I don't want to pay for them to just sit here, so I have to look at them tomorrow and feel uncomfortable again for not helping. I'm doing a public service by not helping them. How dare they beg me and make me feel uncomfortable? They must be junkies or lazy, and they're just scamming others by pretending to be homeless because they don't want to work and earn a living like me. Their problem is that they don't want to grow up. They just want others to take care of them. I'm earning what I have. Get a job and take care of yourself the way I do. That's what our brains do. That's what our selfish instincts tell us. Instead, how about thinking, I have no idea what their story is, but I can see that their fingernails are dirty, and I can see that they are out here in the elements, and I can see that they are asking for help. I can see that they are struggling to meet their own basic needs. I can see that maybe they forgot how to be givers, or just never learned how they can contribute to others in a positive way. I can see that they appear to just be taking, not giving. Yes, I can see all of that, but unless I spend some time talking to them, do I know through judgment in a single moment the real reason for their circumstances? Do I know their history, their pain, and their struggles? Am I willing to pull over and talk to them to find out? Wait, does everyone have to deserve my help for me to give it? How about I just help in some way, regardless of whether those homeless people deserve it? Pity the poor homeless, because in many cases their stories are totally different from what you think. Those stories are never as black and white as your judgment determines, based on briefly observing the poor character's external appearance. I usually judge them quickly with a glance, justifying why I shouldn't help them without talking to them to hear their story. The real story is usually different from what I imagine, as I will discover if I take the time to actually talk to them. The point is, regardless of the reason for their being homeless or begging, many of them do need our help. We tell ourselves that other people are helping or will help, so we don't have to. That is an excuse to shift responsibility to others, allowing us to neglect the homeless and their suffering. Many people who need help are not getting it, at least not the real consistent help that requires time, patience, energy, and follow-through. Just giving poor people money is treating the symptom and not the problem. It is guilty quick-fix help, which is ineffective. Those poor folks need a long-term commitment of help. They need more than a few minutes of your time. There are many reasons why people are incapable of taking care of their own basic needs, including drug or alcohol addiction, a decline in health, loss of loved ones, job loss, or mental illness with no help from family members. If you ask them their story, they will reveal their struggles fairly quickly. When you help the homeless, you may get your hands dirty, and it may take several attempts to find someone you can help, since some people don't want to be helped. 4 categories of homeless people. Again, when I use the term homeless, I am referring to more than just the people you see on the side of the road packing their belongings. I am also referring to people who may have a place to sleep, but who are alone, neglected, and don't have other people helping them out. So when I use the term homeless, I am also referring to people who need help from others getting to a place where they too can start helping others. I have come up with 4 categories of homeless people who need our help. Let's examine each. The first category is people with drug addiction. Some have lost the ability to take care of themselves due to their addiction. However, giving those people money is not the solution, but feeding them is something you can do, and while you are doing that, you can give them time, attention, and words of encouragement. You can also help them into a detox or treatment facility. Another way to help addicts is to offer to take them to an AA group to meet others who can better help them with their problem. Most of the time, giving them money directly only enables them to continue their addiction. The second type of homeless people are those who are mentally ill. Schizophrenia is common among this group, as well as various post-traumatic stress disorders. Many people of this group are veterans and victims of abuse. Many cannot hold jobs or provide for their own basic needs, including food and shelter. Some mentally ill people have no family members to support or help them, and some have families that have rejected them, so they end up on the streets. My own sister is schizophrenic, so I know from experience that dealing with mental illness can be very challenging. Some mentally ill people reject help, and many of them don't have the capacity to get help for themselves. They need help from others to provide for their basic needs. Many of them need sustained help, which requires patience and tolerance. They may need help researching and locating resources to help themselves. That will require giving of your time and effort. For example, you might take them to a Department of Social and Health Services, DSHS, office, where they can apply for resources such as housing assistance, food stamps, and medical assistance. There is an application for long-term care available at DSHS offices, which is the first step in applying for long-term help for disabled or mentally ill people who cannot help themselves. That involves setting up an appointment with a social worker to discuss the individual's specific needs and issues. You may allow the individual to use your address and phone number to assist with his or her applications and then follow up with them, meeting them at or taking them to their appointments in these critical first steps of getting the help they need. The third type of homeless people are those who have experienced financial hardship that led to their homelessness. They may have lost the ability to provide basic food and shelter for themselves for a variety of reasons, including job loss, a decline in health, grief over losing a loved one, or extreme stress and anxiety from traumatic experiences. Many of these reasons are beyond their immediate control, but regardless of the reasons, they need help and guidance with taking care of themselves. Some people find themselves alone in the world with no one there to help them out. The fourth type of homeless people are those who choose homelessness as an actual occupation in which they beg from others to meet their basic needs. Some of these people do not want to change. However, if some of these homeless individuals were to show an interest in going to an expert giver group meeting and decided to work through the steps voluntarily, they could grow away from total dependency on others' giving and transform their lives into contributing and giving to others. We don't try to force or persuade these individuals to transform themselves, but we do help those who want our help. Find one person who truly wants and needs the help you are offering. There will be no greater reward than helping to lift another person up to make the transition from taker to giver. Once you have found one homeless person who wants and needs your help, it is up to you to follow through, continue leading the plan in helping him or her, and continue helping him as long as he is doing what is required to help himself along the way. We can each choose to sponsor one homeless person, one homeless couple, or one homeless family. We can teach them how to give through our example and give to them unconditionally until they learn to give unconditionally themselves, whether we help them financially, by giving of our time, or by being kind and patient. Where do you find homeless people? At food banks, in homeless camps, or on the streets. You can also find them in churches or Salvation Army centers. The homeless individual may have lost a job or have health problems or have spiraled down into depression from the loss of a relationship or a family member, and he can't pull out of the grief. Or he may be alone in the world without any family or no one who cares about him. To practice giving with individuals you see on the street, approach them directly and smile and ask, "How are you doing with life right now? Tell me about it." Then wait for their answer and respond lovingly, as you would want someone to do with you if you were in their shoes. They will probably start by talking about their finances and ask if you could spare some change. How would you want someone to ask you about your life and talk to you and treat you and try to help you if you are on the streets? That is exactly what you should do with the people you decide to help. You listen to their story, which will contain fear and possible delusions or a con line to get money, but know that deep down inside, they want to give again. They want to earn everything they get by giving, but they have either forgotten how or they never learned how to practice giving. Instead of giving them money, ask them if they would like to join you for a meal so you can interact with them and get them to open up more about what is really going on in their lives. Find out their situation beyond their sales pitch to get your money. Many of them are in survival mode and have concocted lies about their situation. They aren't used to people spending time talking to them or willing to help them in a sustained effort. You need to take time to get their real story. If you're willing to spend 30 to 45 minutes with them and get beyond their ask and their lies to get money, you may find individuals who could use your help beyond a couple of dollars and a hurried smile. Drive them somewhere or walk with them and feed them. Discuss their situation over a meal or at a coffee shop. However, use caution so that you don't put yourself in harmful or dangerous situations. Help them to figure out what they can do to help themselves and how you can best assist them so that they can give again too. Get their phone number, if they have one, so you can follow up with them. If they don't have a phone, set a time and place to meet again. Make a plan based on their needs with specific goals to follow up on. Then plan the next meeting. If all this doesn't turn out the way you hoped, just ask them if they are hungry, then feed them. Let them know up front that you are not offering a source of income or future money, but will help them with time and energy. Treat them as you would want to be treated if you were in the same circumstances. Expert giver groups can offer support with helping the homeless. For more information, check out www.expertgiver.com. World Goal 3, Getting Rid of Nuclear Weapons. Another world goal that I was given in my Revelation download was to suggest visualizing world peace for one full minute every day upon awakening. This may sound kooky, but it will work if enough of us do it persistently. Your imagination is powerful. If you imagine something enough times with focused attention, the wheels start grinding behind the scenes to materialize it in this world. This is how we can produce something from nothing. Every man-made object in this world was first imagined at one point and then desired. I know that materialize is a New Age word, but we each have this superpower. To practice using your imagination with the intent of creating and manifesting what you want, start by holding a picture of what you desire in your mind and attempt to have the feelings that would come from having it as if it has already happened. When you focus a desire and believe in it persistently, without doubt, you can materialize that desire. Although you have done nothing outside of your mind's desire, powerful unseen forces start to churn and bring your desire about. You cannot see exactly how the pieces will come together, but imagining the outcome with desire is all you need to do to start the process of materializing it in the physical world. Over a decade ago, there was a popular book called The Secret, which explained that if you could repeatedly imagine a desired outcome as already existing, and repeat this exercise, it will come to be over time. The overall problem with The Secret was that it promoted using this power for selfish reasons, to gain material things and wealth. It was all about using this power for getting and not for giving. The solution here is not to feed our instincts' insatiable desire for sex, financial security, and selfish fulfillment. The solution is giving. If enough people in the world decided to visualize nuclear disarmament for 1 minute a day, that would manifest in reality over time. Our collective intent is humanity's most powerful tool, which most of us don't realize we have. We can remove all nuclear weapons from the world if enough of us desire it, will it to be so, and persistently visualize it. I cannot explain this power, but it will work if enough of us use it. I was on Google recently checking the news, and the first article I saw said, "Doomsday clock moves closer to midnight. Nuclear war." Wow. It has moved closer, especially with the tensions between India and Pakistan, which can affect the whole world. But we can stop it from happening. However, it will require a little action on all our parts. Will you commit to 1 minute per day? A simple visualization lasting 1 minute per day with the intent and desire to eradicate nuclear weapons could cause an actual reduction of them in the world if enough people chose to do this practice. All I'm asking of you is 1 minute per day when you wake up. If enough of us practice the daily nuclear reduction visualization, then a process of actual nuclear reduction will start to occur. However, enough of us need to do it to reach the critical mass threshold that triggers this huge wheel behind the scenes to start to clank and turn. Can we change the world? Yes, with enough concentrated intentions consistently practiced over time. But it is a commitment that enough of us need to make repeatedly until the desired results are attained. Commitment, persistence, and action are required from a large number of us. Enough of us have to want it, not just say we want it. Enough of us have to concentrate on wanting it every day. Will you join me in this exercise of focusing on having no more nuclear bombs in the world and being a part of manifesting that? Imagine all the nations of the world dismantling and eradicating their nukes. Visualize people around the planet hugging one another and crying with joy over this accomplishment. This is quantum physics stuff, so it doesn't make logical sense. But we actually have that power and ability when effort and belief are applied consistently. To be effective at creating and manifesting, we must keep up a concentrated, persistent effort over time, despite all the distractions of life. Persistence requires discipline, but it pays off. Everyone who has achieved anything of value in this world has demonstrated persistence. In the face of difficulty, they remain steady in the pursuit of their goal, whatever it was. Let's use persistent intention to manifest peace in the world and make something big happen that is good for everyone. World Goal 4, Population Reduction. The number one problem in the world right now, the biggest elephant in the room, is overpopulation. We cannot control our own instincts to stop it, limit it, or reverse it. We are in a state of denial about it. Right now, we have 7.6 billion people on Earth. Our instincts tell us to keep having more kids. A woman's most basic primal urge is to become pregnant and have a baby. Most women want to do that more than any other single thing in their lives. And men want to impregnate women as a powerful instinctual and hormonal drive. The most fundamental drive in both men and women is to procreate. For the survival of our species, we really need to reduce the exponential production of more of us. I am suggesting that not producing more kids is an act of giving. Please consider adoption. It is a sacrifice, but unconditional giving requires sacrifice. For the greater good, we must sacrifice in order to continue our survival. Our current population trajectory is unsustainable. Every day, 200,000 new people are added to the population, or 1 million new people every 5 days. These numbers take into account how many people die daily. Think about those numbers. Birth control and sterilization are some common sense options. Choosing to go against our strongest instinctual drives to procreate is unconditional giving, and also a sacrifice for our own greater good. Exponential population growth is unsustainable, but our denial says otherwise. We are rushing toward a tripwire threshold in our world of limited resources. There are not enough resources for everyone to consume at the standard of the modern world. Can you be part of the solution? The End.